He stopped him and said, "How are you doing?" He said, "I'm fine." We exchanged, you know, greetings in the beginning, worldly greetings, that is. And I told him, "Have you heard anything about Islam? Have you read anything about Islam?" He said, "Yes, sure. I read, you know, a couple of books and I like it." "Then why aren't my parents? I'm afraid of my parents disowning me. My mother, my father, they will not entertain the concept of me being a Muslim at all. When I go back, he was from the Philippines. When I go back to the Philippines, I will definitely come across many obstacles and many problems and so on and so forth. So, you know, avoid all the problems. I remain a Christian." And I was like, "Whoa! I mean, come on, man. How is that? You believe Islam is the true religion of God and you worried about your parents?" That's one thing. "Do you believe in paradise?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Do you believe in hell?" He said, "Yes." "I believe that God control where you will go, whether to paradise or to hell." I said, "Beautiful. Such, then don't you think you should be more worried about pleasing God, pleasing others who do not have such control? Let's assume, because, you know, to remain a Christian, knowing that God expects you to make some other changes, and then you die, what will your parents do for you on the Day of Judgment? Do you think they will come, 'He wanted to, because of us, he didn't become a Muslim, so please allow him to paradise?' Do you think?" Said, "No." I said, "Then if you truly have to do it, you have to return to your Lord. Now he is told you and your creation. The Prophet, peace be upon him, taught us hearts are between the fila. He turns them around. Allah controls everyone's heart. You have to truly, for your faith in God to manifest, that requires that you depend on Him, you believe in Him, and you faith in everyone else. And this is to say, assuming that there's guaranteed danger, there's guaranteed, afflicted with some calamity. What if these are all assumptions? Maybe people not like it. Maybe, well, okay. Kind of, it's your true faith. You see, trying to avoid it, then you realize that life is just about that. The test and the confrontation of you becoming a Muslim and having to deal with the family, okay? If you avoid that, you will not be able to avoid the other tests which God gives you, which may persevere clearly after you don't accept faith. And this is regarding the worldly life. Then don't ask about what's waiting in the life to come, which is way more severe. And even in addition to that, you cannot fix it. Now, this is the life returning, rectifying, changing, modifying, it's over. Once we go to the other life in a position, in a particular position, then we will remain upon that position forever. So, I spoke to him. And usually, Allah is my witness. I usually do not like to publicize and broadcast to people who became a Muslim because of what I did or whatever. But I'm only quoting this incident, it's relevant to our topic, okay? I'm sure, inshallah, everyone has a share of those who became Muslim. the worst amongst you. But anyways, that's all he needed to hear. That's all. You have to make, depend on God. He will protect you. He will preserve you. He will make a way out for you. Even if they go against you, you will eventually reconcile with them, inshallah. And you'll be able to explain to them your point of view. My voice is cutting. To do. Let me try to see the microphone. Maybe it's the issue with the microphone. Does that make a difference? Don't open camera, okay? Quite bad. So, again, what? Log out and log back in? Camera. Okay. How are you? I was saying, is that catching Khairul? That would be very odd to speak on. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Assalamu alaikum. I have done my part. I hope there is an improvement. Beautiful. Is it because I'm speaking slower? Okay, I'll just speak regularly, inshallah. I'm sorry. Okay. No, it is clear. Beautiful, beautiful. So, what was the last thing you heard? I think that will make a difference, because I want to... What was the last thing that you heard? If you don't mind. Okay. Right, beautiful. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So, yeah, Lee, that's all he needed to hear. And if we made an appointment the next day, and he went with me to the masjid, and he declared the shahada for the worshippers after the prayer. And that's it. I started seeing him often, you know, and sometimes I would come across him in the street. Then he eventually moved to another branch of Pizza Hut. But the point that I was, boom here, is that this person was on the verge, ready. He was convinced that Islam is the truth. What was keeping him, or, in better words, it was the potential fear of what might happen of embracing Islam. And guess what? He embraced Islam and life went on. His parents didn't disown him. He didn't have all these talks, and alhamdulillah, everything was fine. And from those whom we've come as citizens of Islam, predominantly it happens smoothly. Yes, there will be some issues initially with some family members, for example, who may not be acquainted with their religion, or they may have a misconception about Islam. So when they hear that their relative embrace the religion of parents, and that requires that to embrace Islam, to be able to explain to these individuals the understandings and give them the correct position due, which is taught in Islam. That's really what it boils down to, learning and acquiring the necessary in order to be able with the people. Why is this important? Because if we were to leave, the individuals who are at the verge of becoming Muslims, sitting in front of these potential misconceptions, then you'll be shocked at the huge number of people who actually may always remain right there on the verge of becoming Muslims, but never doing so because they necessary. So, this misconception, we be sensitive of. We need to be aware that there is a potential, difficulty that the new Muslim may experience because of embracing Islam with their society, with their family members, and so on and so forth. And it is our requirement to make it easy for them. The actual transition from Islam is an expectation and a requirement of us to facilitate it for them. There are all minor issues here and there that can be addressed. First and foremost, how do we adequately mention to you earlier that I shared with that new Muslim, or what was a non-Muslim that became Muslim? True faith in God necessitates that we, as Sheikh Bilal Phillips had mentioned numerous times, that if we hear the people, then you guys, this is already a problem. The fact that there's fear to the people that is stronger than the fear that one has from me, an indication that the faith in God is not sound. And this is the devils who wish to keep everyone astray. By this idea, this concept of Tawheed, this concept of monotheism, that requires of you to favor God and to prioritize wherein pleasing God into you at, hello? Hello?
You can hear me? Oh, I'm sorry. What pleasing God is a priority in your life. Pleasing God is a priority in your life. Now, how does one reach that point? One reaches that point when one truly understands who God is. You see, every human was created with the predisposed understanding or the natural disposition of believing in the existence of the greatest being and the most generous and compassionate, the most merciful, the most forgiving, the one and only creator of the heavens and the earth. This was something that is in our depths, something that no human can at all. Understanding and recognizing the greatness of God is among the best means to help you make that transition. That God can remove movement of every creature simultaneously. Just take that. Now, how many movements are occurring in this universe of ours? Movements are occurring your the blinks, the pumping of our hearts, the circulation of our being, the inhaling and the exhaling. This is only in us. Then what about the winds that are blowing in the world? What about the rains that are falling? What about the moving? What about the waves that are crashing at the shore? What about the fish in the ocean and the whales? What about the animals? What about the universe and the planets and the movement of the planet to a very specific fixed measurement? What about all these things all the time simultaneously, and they are only maintained and allowed to function in this fashion by the command and the will of God? Nothing moves half an inch. Nothing happens illa idha sha' Allah, unless Allah wills it. This is Allah. How? If Allah is in such control, and He is, if Allah is so dominant, and He is, then why would we worry about the creation when Muslims we are submitting to the one that I described to you earlier? Don't you think He will be able to preserve you and provide you and guide you and everything that you hope and expect from Him? Indeed, He's able to do so. Indeed, He's able to do so. So we must deliver this point, and we must make it a very clear concept in the minds of everyone, that when you are becoming any other religion, it's not like, okay, I'm, you know, changing religions, like some people in their search for the truth, as they say, they wind up, you know, trying religions. Some people from Christianity to Hinduism, then they don't find Hinduism to be very satisfied. Buddhism having issues, then they go to atheism, and then they come to Islam. And eventually, yeah, but see, the change to Islam is unchanged to any other religion. When you become a Muslim, you are submitting to the only true God. You are submitting to the only true God for the first time in your life. When you become a Hindu, who are you submitting to? Brahma? Who are you submitting to? Vishnu? Shiva? Who? When you become a Buddhist, who are you submitting to? It's a false God. So when you become a Muslim, the only time that you're submitting to the God, this is the only time. And that's the whole difference. I mean, let me give you a worldly example. If you wanted to work for BMW, and there was the authentic or real dealership of BMW, the dealership of BMW, and there were funds authorized by BMW to be selling their cars. So there's one that is like that is authorized by BMW and their parts, a dealership, and there are a bunch of other dealerships who are also selling BMWs, but these are actually authorized by the company. penny. So they're selling them kind of, you know, illegally. They have no warranty, no guarantee, no service, you know, no service for a year or whatever they do in my car. So if you were to go and have a huge discussion with the salesman on in all of these fake or unauthorized chips, then even though you spent time and you dedicated your, you know, your efforts and so on and so forth, at the end of the day, it was all in vain. It was all fake. It was not worthwhile. Once you go to the actual dealership that is authorized by BMW, even though you're repeating the same thing, you may be using the same words, repeating in the same sentences, asking for the same features in the car, but not beneficial. Now it's actually of value. Now it's actually worthwhile because you're finally dealing with the company that is actually authorized, and the dealership that is actually authorized to be selling you these cars. So even though the action may be identical, the actual outcome is different because when you are authorized, it is not the same as when you are referring to those who are not authorized. And similarly, the acceptance of any religion is a mere change from one form of falsehood to another form of falsehood. And so it's a false god at the end of the day. Once you become a Muslim, you are finally accepting the true religion and the creator, the one who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, creator of the actions of the believers. I say the Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the created speech of Allah. It is this speech of Allah, one of his attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the point that we need to deliver then to the individuals, that now you are returning to your Lord, and He is the one who's in authority. Look what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us concerning Allah. He said to Ibn Abbas, when Ibn Abbas was riding behind him on the mount, he told him, "Know that if all of the creation came together to harm you, to benefit," he first said, "to benefit you with something which God did not have written for you, they will not be able to benefit you. And if all of them came together to harm you with something which God did not have decreed for you, they will never be able to harm you. The pens have been lifted and the pages have dried." Meaning this is from the speech, this is from the knowledge, this is from the wisdom, this is from the things that cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. If everyone wanted to harm you, they will not be able to do so unless Allah allows it first. And when you return to Allah and you embrace Islam, then this is, you are in the greatest condition. This is among the best moments, because it comes in authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah is supremely happy. He is very content when a slave of his repentance. When someone repents to Allah, extremely joyful, even though Allah is self-sufficient and He doesn't need the slave of His. But Allah becomes so happy when one of them, that, you know, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is happier than someone who had, you know, he was in the desert, he had his animal, his camel with him that was carrying his food, and all of a sudden he lost his camel. And when he lost hope also, he went and sat under the tree waiting for death. He sat under the tree waiting for death. He already despaired. And he fell asleep. He woke up, he found that the camel was tied to the tree. So he got up and said, "Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "أخطأ من شدة الفرح." He made a mistake due to extreme joy. Instead of saying, "Oh Allah, you are my master," he said it the other way around. So he made that statement. Allah is happier when a person returns to Him than this individual could be. And a marble that I give you that we can relate to perhaps more, if you've never had your camel, if you haven't been riding camels or horses recently. Have you ever lost your wallet? Have you ever that had, you know, a whole bunch of driver's license, your perhaps, you know, all kinds of credit cards, all kinds of valuable things, you know, the paperwork and credit card, you have some pictures where you have not retrieved and you lost your wallet. Can you imagine the feeling? I mean, I, from personal experience, my wallet before my, the saddest moments of my life. Now imagine if you lost your wallet that had all of your important documentation. After you gave up on finding it, someone calls you on the phone, says, excuse me, I found this wallet, you know, at the bus stop, and it was me. I would like to drop off your wallet. Don't worry, any money. I didn't take any of your paperwork. Everything is still there. Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine you would be like, oh my God, my wallet, right? My paper. I don't believe this. This feeling, which sometimes you cannot even describe in words, Allah is even happier when a person repents. And this is just repenting. God wants us, he finally accepts God. This is one of the greatest forms of repentance. One of the greatest forms of from disbelief as into believing in the oneness of God and worshipping him alone and said, well, this is among repentance. So we said it matters. So we can explain them to the non-Muslims who are birds of a feather. They have some obstacles that are preventing them, such as worry and concern, which are not sufficient. And they're not means, and they do not justify that distance from their Lord, when their Lord already had given them the means to get. Once Allah chooses one of us, and He gives them signs and indications that this is my religion, and this is what will make me pleased with you, then one should not postpone and should not keep it off. Rather, one should hasten to return and become and strive to please Allah. Because the most beautiful feeling in the world, Allah and feed you. Because being in this world, then you will be among the inhabitants of paradise by Allah. So, this is the misconception that I wish to share with you, Aaron, and I will give you some chance to ask any questions. And please do not be shy. Do not be shy. Questions you may need to ask. If I have an answer, I will answer you. If I don't, then I will find an answer for you. Allah Ta'ala. So, Jazakum Allah Khair. Wa Salam ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. وفيكم بارك الله وجزاكم. Okay, question number one. Do we gauge or make a decision between two good deeds? For example, the decision between one driving to a distant fard salah in jama'ah and two performing the same fard salah in jama'ah at home, hassle of travel more. Well, there's no, you know, the second one is not even really something that you would consider at all. There's no doubt that going to the masjid and driving the distance is far, far, far more rewarding than assuming that you don't hear the adhan at home. If you hear the adhan at home, for you must go to the masjid. You must go to the masjid. But let's say you live far from the masjid, then definitely the effort you put into driving, and the time is spent in the Salatul Jama'ah. All this will multiply your reward. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning this that the salah which one prays in the masjid, 25 he prays at home or in his business. That is because, and he explained, that whenever you make wudu, then you go out to the masjid. With every step, Allah will forgive a sin and raise a degree. Allah will forgive a sin of yours and raise a degree. Raise you a degree. And then when you go to the salah and you perform whatever you have, then the angel Allah to show mercy. Allah will ask in Allah's mercy to Allah for Allah to show mercy to you and to forgive you. Then, as long as you're waiting for the salah, you'll be given the reward of all these virtues are not acquired when you pray jama'ah home with your wife and children. Inevitably, go to masjid is what is expected of you. If you dream reward, if you don't hear the adhan and you want to pray at home, that's acceptable, but that's way less rewarding. Allahu Taala alam. I know this is not a very beneficial question, but someone said to me that our ruh travels when we meet other souls that is both dead and alive. Is it true? Souls can see the future, that is why we do istikhara, so what our souls can travel and see. Wallahi, I don't have any sound knowledge on this issue that I can share with you. I have come across some of these narrations which indicate, I mean, we don't leave the body at the time of sleep. As to what happens and where they go, Allah Ta'ala A'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. But that is not why we do istikhara. We do istikhara because we don't know the future. And it's done to choose for us what is best for us. That's what the istikhara. Because you say in istikhara, فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ أَنْتَ أَعْلَمُ الْغُيُوبِ. Verily Allah, you are it, and you know and I know not, and you are the knower of the unseen. Allahu Jin, not this. So this is why to facilitate that thing or otherwise. One's runs iman. I have it delivered on this particular topic called running on empty. I advise you to watch the lecture, because in the lecture I mentioned many different steps one may take in order to increase one's iman. That's a lecture of its own. So to answer it right now is quite lengthy, but like I said, refer to lecture, brother, and inshallah you'll find the answers there. Is there such of godfather, godmother, godson, goddaughter, etc. in Islam? Can we Muslims use those terms in addressing or introducing them? Are these terms of shirk? Well, the concept of whenever I hear the godfather, the only thing I could think of is like, what was his name? Al Pacino? movies and the Italian mafia. So I know that this is not the only way or the only time these terms are used. I know they're popular in many still days of Jahiliyyah. This is what I associate these words with. But anywho, no, we don't have such things in Islam. The term is definitely disturbing. The term itself, even though it not really mean what the words indicate, even though there's the term God, they don't mean that this person is a God for that person. But the term is enough for us to avoid it. So as a consequence, terminology to avoid it, just in case it may open the door for shirk or cause some misunderstanding listening. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Okay, next question. How many sajda are there in the Quran? I have always heard 14, and I read it in many books as well, but when I saw in the Quran, it says 15. Well, because the scholars have differed on some of the sajda, which come in the Quran. And due to that, you will find that it is 14 or 15, or the scholar is considered to be an ayah of sajda or not. There are a few ayahs actually that may be controversial in this topic concerning whether they're there or not. So this is why, it's either way, this is voluntary. The sajda in and of itself, it is authentically reported that Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu in Jumu'ah and Salah in the Sajda and Surah An-Nahl, so he went off the minbar and he made sujood, and then in the following week he came Surah and he did not make sujood. Then he said to the people, verily the, it's optional sujood at the ayah of Sajda, may do so, whoever wishes to refrain from doing so may refrain from doing so. So either way, it's a voluntary matter. And if you wind up making a sajda and an ayah which the scholars have differed about, then inshallah there's nothing wrong with that and you have nothing to lose. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Out of every 1,999 will go to hell. The 199 will be both and non-Muslims. However, as other narrations explain, the majority of them will be from jinn magods. The majority of them will be from among the non-Muslims, because these are all the time. They exist already, but they will become prevalent. I mean, these are from the major signs of the Day of Judgment, and they will be huge, huge in number. But the general understanding of the scholars that it includes both, but the Muslims will be a minority among them. But still, there's that chance. That's why each one of us should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nar. Protect yourselves and your families from the hellfire. So it's an obligation on every one of us to strive to be that one person who will be thousand bi'idhnillahi azza wa jalla. And Allah is vast in mercy and compassion. I keep passing alcoholics and drug addicts begging for money during my day. I always try to give them some money. Sometimes I buy them food. But a little part of me is now starting to wonder if I should be giving money to drug addicts and alcoholics. Do you have any advice? Yes, don't do it. It is known that once someone is addicted, if they don't seek treatment, if they're not Muslims. If they're Muslims, then the treatment begins with repenting to Allah and a number of things. But if, then the chances of them leaving it alone, the kicking the habit, as they say, has very, very honest medical treatment. And so giving them money is like helping them get worse. You don't give them money. Giving them food is fine. And try to give them food that is fresh. Because if you give them maybe canned tuna, they will go and sell the tuna. and then, you know, use the money to buy drugs. So, you know, try to give them like a hamburger or something that they will have to eat on the spot. Otherwise, don't give them money. Do not give them money. There are completely different than it was. I prefer that the question posed by is directed to these. Discuss it with him later or give him my email. Please provide him with my email address.
Okay, assalamu alaikum. We're back with the vengeance. Inshallah. Our soon to become sister, Misbah, is on the verge of entering into the religion of Islam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And I guess she will be turning on her mic within a few seconds so she can repeat the Shahada after me. So we'll wait for that to take place. And yeah, do you know how to turn on the mic? Maybe the monitor can send you a direct message how to go about it. Okay, you see on the top, just above the name, the list of names, above it there are 1, 2, 3, around 7 icons. One of them has the webcam. One of the icons is that of a webcam. When you click on it, it will say publish my video, then just choose the two bottom tick the two bottom boxes without the video, and that's it. Your mic will be turned on. If I should please correct me before it's too late. Reinitiated. Okay, can you hear me now? Alhamdulillah. Yes, I can hear you. Yes, I can hear you clearly. So let's go ahead and do it. Just repeat after me. You will, inshallah, just say, Ashhadu Allah. No, I didn't. It's okay. Ashhadu Allah. إله إله إلا الله. Yes. So let's try to say it all together. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. The second part of the wa ashhadu It's okay. Wa ashhadu ashhadu anna anna Muhammadan محمد 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 رسول الله رسول رسول الله رسول الله الحمد لله. Okay, congratulations. That's it. You said, I bear witness that Muhammad. Yes. And that you bear witness that Muhammad is the danger of testimony to become a Muslim. I give you glad tidings for the Quran and the. Yes. And the prophetic traditions that all of your previous sins are forgiven.
all of your previous sins are wiped out. You have sins on your book of records. By Allah's grace and mercy, and you are that which leads to the right. Hang in there, inshallah. We are all at your service out of our ability. As I told you before, the whole it looks forward to your assistance, which you have. Okay. If you were to have any question, free to is around and available, inshallah, to answer any questions you may have. And I will also